Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me and special guests as we travel the biblical road together, learn more about God's Word, and enhance our relationship with Jesus Christ. Back in the microphone here. I think I'll leave that in there as an outtake. We're so glad y'all are joining us again for another week here on Bear His Cross. This podcast is to help you grow, closer to Christ and to grow in your daily walk with God. Of course, we always thank you for joining us. But as we concluded last week, we were talking about God being at work, and Thurston closed out with Jonah. That's the book we're studying right now. Jonah 1 and 17, and it says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And what Thurston told us was is that God had prepared that fish. All right, Thurston, take it away.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, because everybody, you know, the deal here is everybody is saying, is God in my life? Is God in my life? And definitely yes. But I want to show you that, you know, the thing about the scripture is like the Old Testament. When you read it, it's like God pulls the curtain back and lets you see. He tells us what he's doing. See, Jonah don't know any of this, what we're saying right here.
He's living it real time.
He's living it. Mm-hmm. It's like the book of Job. Job didn't understand that God and Satan had a discussion. Satan said, "I can make him curse you." Mm-hmm. He didn't know that. He was living it. He didn't know it.
We have hindsight to look back in that 2020 vision to see. We see the conversation that took place before. Job was just out there living his best life because that's what he had.
That's what Jonah's doing.
So Jonah's here. He's you know, probably out piddling one day, and God says, "I want you to go to Nineveh." And he says, "I'm not going to do it."
I see it.
So then God prepared the fish, and he sends him on his way. All right, so are we getting in? Are we in, ready to hit the fourth chapter yet? Are we there?
I want you to read chapter 2, verse 10. So you got this. Just refresh for 3 seconds. In verse 1 and 4, God sent a great wind that caused the storm. 1 and 17, the Lord prepared a fish.
Okay, now 2 and 10, you said, right?
2 and 10.
Okay. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land.
How'd that go for him?
I bet he smelled good.
You know, there's two things about that verse right there. That number one, God didn't allow him to be killed. The fish really saved his life.
Yeah. I think it's amazing that it says, and he spoke to the fish.
Yeah. He spoke to the fish. God tells this fish, okay, spit him out on dry land. He goes up to the shore, spits him out. He didn't spit him out in the middle of the sea. He'd have drowned.
He'd have drowned. Yep. That's a great point. He vomited him out. He spit him out on dry land. And it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So that means that if you've ever seen a beached whale, you know, if they get so close in, they can't get back out to sea. But this great fish was obviously close enough to land to spit him out. Now, it might have been like a loogie spit. It might have really thrown Jonah for a ride.
Right.
But it did spit him out on dry land.
There is one parallel between this and the prodigal son in Luke 15.
Okay.
He came back to the father stinking dirty.
And Jonah was probably stinking in dirt.
In vomit.
He would. Okay, you think about it.
You know, he stunk to high heaven.
I would even say after 3 days, Jonah's deodorant was probably gone.
Yeah. And we didn't even discuss this, but the thing about Jonah, the Bible said in the belly of the whale or the fish, he done some praying and, you know, he cried out to God, said, "I'll pay my vows I've made to you."
Yeah. Well, you know, something that I've always thought about is if you go out and get stranded in the desert, you can live without food for several days. One thing you cannot live without is water. So Jonah had to drink some water from somewhere. Now, I bet that's rough.
Let me just say this and we move on.
Okay.
Jonah could have obeyed God and went and preached to those people in Nineveh and got in the ship and come back home.
Yeah.
Ends up in a whale's belly. In vomit for 3 days.
I'm sure he learned that lesson.
It's so easy to get in a mess.
Yes, it is.
And he was in a mess.
And sometimes when you come out of it, you're not going to smell the greatest either.
Right.
You know, right. and I'm saying that in a figurative sense.
I know what you're saying.
That sometimes when you get in that mess, you're not going to smell good as roses when you come out of it.
Well, okay. Now I want you to go to chapter 4. So what happens is, I'll just tell this, the people, Jonah preaches that all the people repent. Of all the revivals in the Bible, me and you both said this, this is the only one in Scripture where everybody repents. So I'll repent.
So the people repent, okay?
Okay.
What verse you want me to start
with? Verse 6.
Verse 6, okay. Verse 6 says, it's the 4th chapter of Jonah, if you're following along with us, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from the from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd.
Okay. So Jonah preaches this great revival. The whole city repents, and he gets mad.
Typical human nature right there.
He gets mad.
Yeah.
You know, he gets angry with God.
And he gets mad at, he gets angry at God because he basically sent Jonah there so the evil people could repent.
Right.
Because Jonah didn't want them to have
forgiveness.
No, he didn't want them to repent. You know, we find ourselves in that situation so many times as Christians that we think, oh, Lord, you chastise them. You know, go get them. But he was mad. And so tell me the significance here of reading this verse, the 6th verse, where it talks about the gourd.
Okay, so what God is fixing to do, this is so good right here. Because what happens to a lot of us, I mean, I'm talking about most of us, I would say, is we get our priorities wrong. God is fixing to teach Jonah a lesson, and here's going to be the lesson that God's going to teach Jonah. Jonah, life is not about you. The sun doesn't revolve around you.
Yep, we're selfish, self-centered.
Yeah, he was. He was totally selfish and self-centered. He wanted them to destroy it. They repent. God doesn't destroy them, and he gets angry. He really gets mad because they have a great revival.
Yep, and he says there, in the 3rd verse, he says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.
So God is fixing to teach Jonah a lesson.
Another lesson.
Yeah, another lesson. And this right here is going to be one of the best lessons. So what God does, it said, God, remember, he had prepared a fish.
Yep.
Okay. So the pouting preacher sitting on the hillside, sun hit him on the head, saying, just kill me and take me on home, Jesus. That's what he's doing. He's ready to go.
Can I throw this in there?
Yeah.
For those of you out there listening that are struggling with something, I want you to remember this. Jonah was through a storm, a bad storm.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah was thrown off of a boat into the ocean, into the water.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Now, we're thinking in our minds, again, this being hindsight, if I'm in a storm and I'm the cause of it, I get thrown overboard and get swallowed by a fish, you think once you got spit out on dry land, you'd be like, Lord, I will never do that again. Jonah walks right back into it. Walks right back into us. All right, go ahead.
So God's going to teach him a lesson about your priorities around. I want to say this to everybody. This is one of the best things I ever learned. And I really mean that as far as being happy in life. The more unselfish you are, the more happy you're going to be.
Oh, yes.
And the more selfish you are, the more miserable you're going to be.
Do you think that's why that Christ taught that the love of money is the root of all evil? Because a lot of people make that a priority in their life. It's not about seeing it as something God gives us to be good stewards over. You become prideful. You become selfish.
Right.
You want to hoard for all, you know. And so in this example, Jonah didn't mind that God loved him and wanted to forgive him.
Right.
But he just prayed.
God, I'll pay my vows. Oh, God, he was doing some serious praying, asking for forgiveness in that fish's belly.
Yep, and then he'll give me.
And I want forgiveness.
And then when it came to other people,
and God forgave him.
And he did.
Yeah.
But then when it came to other people,
he got mad
about it. All right.
So God's got to teach him a lesson. Okay, yep. Here's the lesson.
Okay.
God prepares a gourd, and it grows over Jonah. He's sitting there in his head in the sunshine, it begging his head. He's wanting to die. He's praying to die. So God gives him a gourd, and the Bible said he was very pleased with a gourd.
That's a huge gourd.
So here's what I'm going to say to you. It didn't bother him. People were going to hell.
Yeah.
It didn't bother him.
Yeah.
What bothered him? Getting hot in the sun.
In the sun. So to try to relate that, that would be the same as if we were on a beachfront, mm-hmm. or in a summertime,
mm-hmm.
and we're mad because I'm bald headed, and we're mad because our head is getting sunburned while the people's souls are going to burn for eternity in hell.
See,
I mean, is that not a good analogy?
That's it.
I can't believe you didn't give me enough hair to cover my head, and I'm getting sunburned, and there's people walking around everywhere that their soul's going to burn for eternity.
Yeah. Well, that was Jonah.
That was Jonah, basically.
So God's got to do away with the gourd to show him, man, you're focused on the wrong things.
Yeah. So here's what the seventh verse says, but God prepared a worm. Now here again, too, God prepared a fish. God has made the gourd, and God now has prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. You know, when I think about the word smote in Old Testament wording, it doesn't say the worm gnawed at it or it ate it. It says it smote it. And that's the same phrasing usage there in the Hebrew for when David smote Goliath.
See it.
It took that gourd out.
Yeah.
It took it out.
Yeah.
Eighth verse says, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a venomous east wind. Venomous being there, very angry, I would say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Well, Jonah's just having a huge pity party for himself, is he not?
Well, you know, David, you can look at this right here. You can look at this. And we can determine two or three. And I think you're going to agree with me.
Okay.
Jonah was God's man. But he was a baby.
He was. He was spiritually immature.
He really was.
If we were to put it in Paul's writings, he was more on the milk than on the meat.
That's it.
You know, and ninth verse says, and God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death.
God had a baby here.
Yeah.
I mean, really, he had a baby here, didn't he?
He did. This shows, if this had been you and I or just about anybody I know, this had been my dad especially, his patience would have been gone. my father's patience. But this shows, honestly, to me, the patience of God with us.
Yeah,
it shows God's patience.
It really does. It really does.
Because Jonah goes through everything with the great fish, and he spits him out. That would be a patient lesson right there. My dad would be like, that boy, maybe if he ain't learned his lesson this time, he's going to have to learn on his own. I mean, that's the way I would see it. He goes through the great revival. He preaches to these people. They then repent. Jonah gets mad again. He's having a pity party. God sends the gourd. Jonah gets mad again. He's having the biggest pity party you could say here biblically. Yeah. I mean, he's just having a big old pity party.
Yeah.
All right, continue with your thought there. I keep chasing rats.
No, that's fine. Well, then verse 10, that's, I don't know how much time we got, but we need to spend them on 10 and 11. This the cream of the crop two verses.
You want me to go ahead and read verse 10?
Yeah, go ahead and read them.
Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow. Gosh, I'm struggling today reading. Neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern the between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?
So God tells him, you had pity on a gourd that shaded you. But here's 120,000 people lost that doesn't know God. You don't have any pity on them.
You don't care one bit about them.
Not them. You don't.
And that goes back to him being spiritually immature and him being focused on himself. And I think that's a good lesson we can get out of this that God teaches us daily, teaches me daily. It's not about you.
Well, pride is the lifting up of yourself. That's all pride is. Pride is, you know, and the Bible said pride goes before destruction and the haughty spirit before a fall.
Well, in the reading here, and maybe I'm missing something, but it doesn't go into great detail about how Jonah felt about the gourd. It doesn't tell us his feelings about how he really feels about the gourd.
He just got angry when it died.
When it died. He had pity on it when it died.
Right.
Okay. But it doesn't go into this great long thing about it. But at the same time, God knew Jonah's feelings towards the gourd and towards the people.
He didn't have no pity for the people.
And I say that because when we don't have salvation-based, and I don't want to use the word that's used here, but pity towards people who are going to hell, we're in that same boat.
Here's the good thing about this verse. I don't know if you ever really noticed this. He said, these people can't discern between their right hand and their left, and much cattle. So God has pity on animals.
On animals too, yeah.
Yeah. But what is God is saying here to Jonah, you know, you got your priorities all messed up. The things that shouldn't be important to you, that's what's important to you. And the things that's going to be eternal, you know, people are eternal.
Yes. Does that not relate to our society today? Yeah. We worry every day about things that are not going to exist for eternity.
Yes.
We worry about the clothes we wear, the car we drive, the shoes we put on our feet. We worry about the money in our bank account, our 401k or whatever. We worry about things sometimes to an extent, and we miss the actual things that will last for eternity. So as Christians, what is mine and your job? What's our role?
Well, Jesus said we're to love God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Okay, so if we love someone, we love ourselves enough to accept Christ as the Savior and to try to grow with Him. And I'm trying to relate these two, so bear with me here, Thurston. Yeah. But if we love ourselves not to want to go to hell, why should we not love our neighbor the same way?
Right.
The car we drive doesn't matter.
No.
And to attribute that to Jonah, he got mad when they repented. What if you knew somebody that was your enemy? And I'll say that in a secular term. Somebody that just didn't like you.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, go talk to them and tell them about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them they're going to hell.
Right.
Not in a casting stones way, but go tell them and tell them, I'm trying to throw you that life raft of who can pull you out of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't go do it because you feel pity. They made me mad or they don't like me. Yeah. We're a Jonah.
Yeah.
We're a modern day Jonah. Yeah. Well, it
just tells you all this is really a guy that got his priorities all wrong. You know, I want to just say something here, David. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus said, put God first. You're never going to mess up. And I heard a preacher say this week, and he was an elderly preacher, and he said, I've been by many deathbeds. I never heard someone say, let me tell you about my 401k on my deathbed.
And that's exactly.
Let me tell you about my golf trophies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think God gives us things in life to enjoy.
Sure he does.
And
100% I agree with that. But I'm saying people are the most important thing.
Yes. Salvation for people is the most important thing.
Yes.
That's the eternal thing. Those souls are eternal. And I know we've just got about 10 seconds left, so I want to do this as we close out. We've covered a lot in Jonah. If you missed one of the podcasts, go back and listen to the old ones. But before we get into it, I want you to give us a teaser into what are we going to be studying next.
We're going to be studying the prodigal son.
I love it. I love
it. And I think you're going to enjoy it.
I love it. Well, folks, make sure that you go to the website, bearhiscross.com, where you can learn more about myself and about Thurston, and you can subscribe to our email newsletter so you can stay up to date on the podcast. But the next time we meet, we're going to have a series on the prodigal son, and Thurston is going to talk a lot more because I feel like I need to talk a lot less. Thank you for listening to Bear His Cross. You can find more information at bearhiscross.com. Also, we want to invite you to go to Apple Podcast or your favorite podcast provider and leave us a rating so other people know about this podcast.